I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Power plants, factories, and other industrial facilities emit climate-warming gases, along with additional pollutants that harm human health.
Over 8 million people a year die from air pollution, and that's pollutants like SO2, NOx, PM2.5, and those are typically emitted by the same facilities that are emitting a lot of greenhouse gases like CO2 and methane.
Gavin McCormick is with Climate Trace, an initiative that uses satellite data to track pollution from millions of facilities around the world. It monitors not only climate warming emissions, but other harmful pollutants as well. And it makes that information public at climatetrace.org. Users can zoom in on a map to learn about pollution sources in any community. And for more than 2,500 urban areas, the tool shows where plumes of pollution travel as they drift through the air.
So you can absolutely see when you look at a city that certain neighborhoods are heavily, heavily experiencing more pollution.
They're often areas that have suffered disinvestment for decades.
And so there's a racial component, there's an economic component.
So the data helps identify communities where solutions are needed most. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Julian Taylor's jukebox is plugged in, turned on, and rare to go.
Wake up, it's a long night, darling. Wake up, it's the brightest sky. No love, it's a dark night, darling. Hold on to me for dear life. Wake up, where do we go to? Wake up, fire in your eye. Oh love, we will try to come and save you. It's all just a matter of time. Wake up, won't you listen to the people? Wake up from the mountain of the lies. No love, you've been upon through every sequel. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Digging deeper in the rubble. Hold on to my voice outside. Wake up, we just lost another family. Wake up, cause we need the world to see. No love, they won't ever understand us. Too bad, we're just bodies on a screen. Wake up, they don't care about the people. Wake up, they don't care about you too. Oh love, if you're walking with the people, hold on, cause they're coming for you. Wake up, little boy, they don't want you. Wake up, you might threaten their plan. Run, run, go before they come and find you.
Grow up till you're taught to fight back.
Hey, hey, Tutu, my name's Julian Taylor, and you are listening to The Jukebox. That is a song from the album Dual Reality, which came out in 2023. It's by an artist by the name of Lunar. And this artist is from Amman and Jordan, but based in the United States. The song you just heard here on the show is called Wake Up. It's brilliant stuff, don't you think? We've got some brand new music coming up from the Roadhammers. Yep, they're back. And we're going to play a song called Till the Wheels Fall Off, featuring Tyler Conley and Ian Thornley from Big Wreck. From Whitehorse, Jay Gilday is also on the show with a song called Guess I'll See You from an earlier release that came out in 2016. He is the brother of two-time Juno Award-winning artist Lila Gilday. Owen Rieglin is on the show with brand new music. It's called Born Again. And here is Medicine Wheel by Logan Stats from Six Nations of the Grand River.
Mm-hmm. Sage grows in the ditches, a cedar grows in the shade. Tobacco gets turned to ash before we even pray. The sweet grass dries and dies before we twist it into braids. And that old wheel keeps on turning each and every day. And that whole forsaken town, it's built on sacred ground. And you call it your new home, well, we call it our tombstone. This merry-go-round, it's on our burial ground. This fire in our water, this poison in our veins. And sage grows in the ditches, the seed grows in the shade. Tobacco gets turned to ash before we even pray. The sweet gets dries and dies before we twist it into braids. That old wheel keeps on turning each and every day. A pistol and a bloodstained Bible, you're telling me love's my rival. Our teachings, after all the pain I've witnessed, I still should you forgive it. Sage grows in the ditches, the cedar grows in the shade. Tobacco gets turned to ash before we even pray. The sweet gets dries and dies.
We'd be floating in the great wide open. Not a worry in the world underneath the cotton candy sky. I see forever in every little bit of your hand I'm holding. If eternal was summer, we'd be swimming through late July. Cold goes south. Until they write our name on limestone rock and the world thinks that's our end, I'll still be loving you when we're born again. All it takes to be the breath of fresh air I'm needing. Honey, you be my lungs. If I get severed to the bone, it'll be the thought of you I'm bleeding. And when the good Lord tries to call us home, it won't stop till the sun burns out, until the world goes. Sun burns out, until the world goes dark and the cold goes south, until they write our name on limestone rock and the world thinks that's our end. I'll still be loving you when we're born again. I'll still be loving you when we're born again.
This is music for the human race. Julian Taylor's Jukebox rolls on.
Lighting up your
The Jukebox is broadcast on stolen and unsurrendered land in the traditional territory of many First Nations across Turtle Island. We must realize the significance of recognizing and paying respect to the first people who resided in the territory that we are currently sitting on.
This is Julian Taylor's Jukebox. Music from legendary rock and roll Canadian stalwarts 5440, and that's a song from their new record Virgil called Die to Heaven. My name's Julian Taylor. You are listening to The Jukebox. We've got our featured artist. He is our first Yamaha Guitar Spotlight Artist of the Week. It is I, and he's got a wonderful gravel, silky voice, tight lyrics, amazing melodies, and he is been on a tear. He's appeared on CBS with Gail, on The Morning Show, NPR's Tiny Desk with Bob Bolan, and he's toured with Lauren Daigle, Milo, Mandy Moore, and has over 100 million streams. He is amazing, and I got to catch up with him just yesterday. I'm here interviewing my friend and stellar musician and songwriter and producer now, I, spelt A-H-I. I'm Julian Taylor. I is our Yamaha Guitar Spotlight Artist this week. Thank you for joining me, I.
What's up, man? How you doing, Russ?
I'm really good. So tell us a little bit about the guitars that you use.
Man, so my main guitar on stage is a Cole Clark, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's because they gave me that guitar a while ago. It's a black guitar, and I only use black guitars on stage. My aesthetic for the longest run was all black, everything, right? Less so now than before, but it's still kind of on point. But that's what I use on stage when I'm on tour. It's been through a lot with me. You know, I remember touring across the states, the whole guitar busted open. They got me another one. They, you know, had to go to this guy's house in Mississippi, and he had another black one that I used on tour. So I take that on the road. It busted because of, like, I went from Colorado to Oklahoma, and I think the humidity from Colorado to Oklahoma kind of did something. But in my studio, I use a bunch of stuff, man. But one of my main guitars for acoustic is the Yamaha. They sent me this beautiful guitar. I mean, you can't see it, but... And then I have a high-strung Takamine. It's an old Takamine, one of my earlier guitars that I retuned and got a high-strung, like, Nashville tuning I use for some of the brighter stuff. Then I have... Fender sent me some electric stuff, and I have a nylon. Is this a Yamaha? This is not a Yamaha, but I have a nylon here, too. This is a Yamaha, nylon Yamaha guitar as well, right?
Oh, nice.
So I mainly use for my sessions in my studio, the Yamaha, and that's kind of what it's a beautiful sounding guitar, great action on it, it plays really well. And I'm not like an insane guitar player. I do pretty basic stuff, and I try to keep my playing pretty simple. You know what I mean? There's some phenomenal guitar players out there, but I'm not one of them. I think my guitar playing is for my writing and my singing primarily, right? So it's kind of like the troubadour style, like, you know, like, you know. Right? So
I know that style. Yeah, I mean, do you play in standard tuning? Is that like?
Yeah.
So 440s. And when did you end up first picking up a guitar? I remember when I did. Just a boy when I started playing. Were you the same or?
No. I started playing in my 20s. So I was like. Very late, yeah. And singing, music, everything was late for me. My mom actually bought me my first guitar. I think I was 21, and it was my birthday. She bought me a guitar. I know it sounds like I'm a little kid when I say this, but
that's awesome.
I did a lot of like traveling and stuff. When I came back, my birthday, she bought me a guitar. And then, but actually, the first guitar that I ever had, I'm lying. My first bought guitar was my mom, but. My teacher gave me a guitar, Mr. Luars. He had a bust, like a cheap guitar. In his garage.
This is in high school?
This is in high school, actually. But I wasn't playing it. I was just like doing some nonsense with it. And I remember I ended up just painting on it and doing all these beautiful, like, it was like a forest with like the stars all over. It was really beautiful. I don't even know that guitar is now. And then that guitar wasn't like a great guitar for like actually playing. And then my when I started a band in university, my guitar player loaned me his guitar for a little bit. And all I knew how to play was basic, like E minor, and like barely could do a G. And then that's when I had my official, like, okay, I'm gonna play guitar and try to learn how this was my mom's. And it was a Art and Luther, I think it was.
Oh yeah, like Art and Luther.
Yeah.
Did you end up teaching yourself or did you take lessons?
I taught myself. I tried to take lessons, and I just, it wasn't good. Like, I didn't, like, the guy was cool, like he was bad, but I remember I said to him, man, I think my fingers are too small for the guitar. He's like, yeah, maybe they are. So I was like, this guy's not motivating me. He's not kind of charming. So I just kind of quit. He was a nice guy. I think I did like two sessions with him, right? And I was like, forget this. I think even today I'm still like striving to be a better guitar player, more self-reliant guitar player. So that's why, like, when I'm recording now, I'm doing a lot of the guitar parts myself, but I have time to make mistakes. You know what I mean? Like,
so, yeah, it's not like a live setting, right?
Yeah. I think the best learning is just sitting with your guitar
and just figuring it out.
Or just, if you love writing songs, like I love writing songs, write songs, and you know, it's going to push you to find different stuff. You know what I mean? Because you know, you're going to sing something and then you got to go to this chord or whatever. So, there's a lot that I still got to learn as a guitar player.
Well, speaking of songwriting, actually, how do you go through your process? Do you end up writing lyrics first? Or are you kind of like a both? Scenario.
Yeah,
how does the guitar help you in that regard?
Guitar is usually my go-to instrument when it comes to writing, because that's how I've always written songs. You know what I mean? And I consider myself a folk artist, so I believe in the guitar. I love the simplicity of the guitar. I love the, you know, it's just a very humble instrument. But I'll dream lyrics and songs all the time. It's not often where I have a lyric that I try to turn into a melody. Right, it has happened. And I'd have to think of like what song. There's a song, "Breaking Ground," I had.
Yep.
I've been told I'm worthless. So much that it gave me purpose. That was a poem I wrote a long time ago, right?
Was the whole song a poem? Like
No, just that opening line. Okay. And I'm sure the line changed to fit the melody as well, right? But a lot of it comes from just like, I'm really a believer in melody now and just finding like the right melodies that work. And then once I find a melody, I'll try to like fit lyrics into that melody and make sure the content and what I'm singing about reflects something that I want to sing or something that I feel comfortable singing. And then like now that I'm in the studio space, trying to find newer ways to explore songwriting is something that I do like not as much, but like I still do it. Like there's a song called Stand By on the new record, The Light Beyond the Sun, where I started off with a sample, right, from Splice. You know what I mean? I sped it up and tuned it differently, and I did some stuff to it. And that was where, and I just started going on the microphone and singing a part over to it. And I almost, I don't think I used the very first take, but I used like one of the initial like songwriting takes because it just sounded better than
what you were creating.
When I tried to record it, right? So
yeah, I've been through that process too, where it's almost like the demo is better than what you could possibly do again.
That's rare for me because I'm not like, because I don't.